Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. A reminder that I'll be joined every single Monday live on TalkSport 2 by Gareth A. Davis to dissect all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. 2021 is set to be a huge year for boxing, both in the UK and abroad, and we'll have you covered every single step of the way. If you can't join us live, make sure you subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel to ensure you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, you can also check out some of the other great boxing programming, the likes of Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and the boy from Brownsville, the Mike Tyson story.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon, this is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, if you love your boxing and you love your MMA, this is the show for you. Myself and Adam Crouch will be looking forward to some of the big fights that could and should happen in 2021. Today, we're going to discuss the big fights from the weekend, including Derek Chisora's points loss over Joseph Parker. Sonny Edwards and Paulie Malignaggi will be both joining us on the show as well. Newly crowned IBF flyweight champion Sonny Edwards and the great man Paulie the Magic Man Malignaggi. This is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2.
He's being cheered home by his corner man. They think that he's done it. Edwards thinks that he's done it. Celebrating maybe just a little bit too soon, but the final bell is coming, and Edwards is now celebrating. He thinks that he is the world champion, cheered aloft by his trainer, Grant Smith. And what a performance that was.
And he's got him in big trouble here. Chisora, in the final minute of this one, was rocked. Now can Parker keep the pressure on? No, Chisora comes back again. This is absolutely brilliant from Chisora.
Parker, for whatever reason, just did not let his hands go.
I think that will be it. That was right on the nose. Eyes watering. Somehow he gets the bravery to get back up again, but the referee this time says no, and I think that's the right decision. Yeah, I was a wee bit surprised that the corner allowed him to come out for that fourth round. The brave guy took his licks. Great shot down the middle, right on the nose from Billy Joe Saunders, and he gets the win that he needed.
Yeah, big fight card on the weekend. Loads of big fight cards on the weekend as well, but we are going to focus on Matchroom's fight card that was in Manchester, headlined by the pay-per-view card between Joseph Parker and Derek Chisora. Taylor versus Jonas Eubank Jr. on the card as well, against Marcus Morrison, Campbell Hatton, Craig Richards, Dimitri Bivol. Really packed card. Let's welcome in this man, the Catman, Adam Cattrall, who's joining us now to look back on this fight card. Adam, I want to start from the bottom. I say the bottom. This guy was quite high up on the card, but the bottom in terms of the very novice on the card, and that is young Campbell Hatton, who, look, I adore. I love his father as well. I always feel like it's going to be difficult, the position they're putting him in, just because they're putting him above like world champions like Dimitri Bivol. They're chucking him all the spotlight on him. Yeah. And it's going to be difficult to find him matches because, look, they put him in a guy that's got 11 losses. That means that guy's had 11 fights. They're putting the guy on the weekend with 4 losses. He still struggled to kind of find out what he wants to do there. We just got to take our time with Campbell Hatton, haven't we?
Mate, give him 20 bin men. I'm not interested in the level of opponent that this lad has to fight. It's like that when you are the son of a legend, there's always going to be pressure when you come into this
Agreed.
Game. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do shows with Conor Benn, and I had conversations with him about that. And it's quite similar to the way that Sky and Matchroom treated Conor at the start of his career to where Campbell is right now. He's been given a big fanfare, hasn't he? Campbell Hatton's here, Hurricane Hatton, he's coming in. It's the son of Ricky. I mean, they made a big thing out of him, obviously fighting in Manchester, obviously, at the weekend.
Yeah.
And it took a little bit of time for Conor Benn to find his feet. You know, he came in, he were raw as they came. He went through a few bumps and bruises. He got himself into situations in fights that he didn't necessarily... he could have done without, let's say, especially the Cedric Pernot fight, which happened at York Hall. But he came through it, and now look at him. Look at where Conor's at now, you know what I mean? I think if you're dedicated to the craft, like Conor... I know I keep talking about Conor Benn, but if you're dedicated to the craft like Conor Benn is, then all of a sudden you kind of forge your own way and you step out the shadow of your dad. And Conor's most certainly done that now. I mean, look where he's at.
Yeah,
it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for people to kind of stop calling him Ricky Hatton's son, and refer to him as Campbell Hatton in his own right. And I'm more than fine with that being 20 fights down the road.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah, let it happen. Yeah, honestly, mate, let it happen. Agreed.
Mate, go to Weatherspoons and get a couple of doormen in. You know what I mean? Whatever you need to do with him, that's fine. Let him learn to be Campbell Hatton. Let him learn to deal with the celebrity part of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at the moment, he's fighting behind closed doors. There's going to be points where he's going to fight in front of arenas and there's going to be big fans there absolutely buzzing for him. So he's got to learn to deal with all those situations. I think on Saturday night, he was far better than he was the first time
around.
Agreed.
And that's what it is, isn't it?
Of course it is, man. Development. Yeah. Cool, cool, Az. He's not fighting for a world title next week. Let's not get giddy. It's going to take some time. And if after 20 fights, I mean, he's made the right development with his trainer, his uncle, Matthew, then let's start talking about area titles and English titles and British titles. That's it for then. And then we'll see how he gets on.
Yeah,
let's not put too much pressure on the kid.
Agreed. And I'm with you. Let's see what he can do in 10, 15 fights and then people can pass their judgment how they want. Another person that's been, he's had the same trouble, right? Trying to shake that father name. The name behind him is Eubank Jr. I mean, Sky didn't help when they come out and they're still playing clips of Chris Eubank Sr. I'm like, surely he's done enough now to separate himself from his dad. They put him
at least his dad's not on the ring walk with him anymore. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Or inside the ring as well, giving him advice. I mean, that was the worst ones, right? I mean, Marcus Morrison looked amazing on the scales, by the way. He looks huge in the ring as well.
Looks like you, Addy. I've seen you back in the gym, mate. You look very similar physique to you.
Have you seen that? I've been posting it on the Instagram stories, yeah. But no, Marcus Morrison, I don't think anyone expected it to go 10. You know what fighters are like. When they do go 10, they say they want it to go 10. He had his... there was a couple of moments in there where Eubank Jr. looked really good, really fast, spectacular, but we've got to remember, this guy's been out of the ring since, December 2019?
Yeah.
Right? New trainer as well. Mm-hmm. I didn't think anyone should have expected him to look spectacular. What did you expect?
I expected him to take him out, if I'm honest. And really, I think he had a real opportunity in that second round to do so.
What was he doing there? What did he do there, Adam?
I have no idea, mate.
He took a couple of steps back and was like, no, not yet.
Yeah, well, that was it. And it felt then, for the rest of the fight, that it was a glorified sparring session. Like what you've just said there, he has been out the ring for a period of time, and they keep saying, don't they, let's get some rounds under our belt, let's use this as an opportunity to implement the things that we've been doing in the gym. That's all well and good, but let's be straight. At the weekend, this is a pay-per-view card. There's fans around the world that have put their hand in the pocket and they said, right, I'm coming to watch this. Oh, Eubank Jr.'s on. Show me something.
Mm.
And he missed an opportunity for me, you know? There was an opportunity for him to absolutely blow Marcus Morrison away in that second round, and he didn't take that. And I think a lot of fans will come away from it a little bit disappointed, a little bit of sour taste in the mouth, and they'll think, is he all that? Is Eubank Jr. all that?
Because, you know, let's be honest, I mean, prior to that, he's been calling out Golovkin. He's been calling out everyone at 160 and 168. And
exactly.
We needed to see something from him in order to get excited
Make a statement. You've got the audience there. The captive audience is there. People have come to watch. You've got a lad that is well beneath you in levels, and that's no disrespect to Marcus. He is. And you've got him going in the second round. Take him out. What are you taking your foot off the gas for? And then trying to, you know, using this as a glorified practice section. I ain't paid for that, mate. Come on, son. Give me some violence. That's what I'm here for.
No, you're right. That's exactly what I was there for as well. Another guy on the card that maybe, I'm not going to say went under the radar, but Dmitry Bivol versus Craig Richards, a world title fight. Dmitry Bivol, I think, probably the second best light heavyweight in the world behind Beterbiev. Massive step up for Craig Richards. He done all right, didn't he? He done all right.
Listen, Craig Richards, he put in a wonderful performance at the back end of last year to become the British champion against Shaq and Pitters. And obviously, an opportunity like this comes along to fight for the world title, you take it. And you've got to give him a massive round of applause for stepping up. I personally think that Bivol's fighting in the wrong weight category. I really
far
do.
Far too small. anymore, isn't it? It should be at 168.
I completely agree, mate. I was looking at these two lads next to each other, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And I think it was the size then that allowed Craig Richards to implement the things that he does very well. He's got a great jab. He moves well, and every now and again, he let his hands go. I think he lost the fight handily. I really do. I think Bivol's footwork and his poise and the way that his shot selection is sensational. But he should be, and again, no disrespect to Craig Richards, Dmitry Bivol should be taking out Craig Richards. But Beterbiev takes him out. I think Callum Johnson would have taken him out. Yeah. Maybe even a Buatsi would have taken him out. Yeah. I don't think Bivol's in the right weight category. I think a step down to 168, and then all of a sudden you've got a sensational player there. And who knows?
You've got some really good fights as well. Yeah, 168 for him. Yeah, absolutely. So it makes sense.
I think he's undersized.
Yeah, completely. I think the fight of the night was the female fight. It really was. I think Katie Taylor versus Natasha Jonas. I thought Natasha Jonas looked a bit like deer in the headlights for the first two rounds.
Yeah.
And then, third round, she started coming clean, landing her shots, and then we had a fight. We had a fantastic fight, and that should have been 12 rounds. I'm hating this 10-round stuff. I don't mind the 2 minutes because you get all action in 2 minutes, but that should have gone 12.
Yeah, listen, I'm all for 3 minutes. I really am when it comes to the elite level female fighters that we've got. We're talking about a double Olympic gold medalist in Katie Taylor and a girl that went to the Olympics representing Great Britain in 2012 in Natasha Jonas. I find it a touch patronising that where the girls are being forced to only fight for 20 minutes. They put on a phenomenal show.
Great fight.
And I think for the sport to grow, for female boxing, and I know that people will be listening to this going, why are you referring to it as female boxing? It's boxing in general. Well, it's not, is it, at
no,
the
it's
moment.
It's female boxing.
Because we are not, they're not on parity, and they should be on parity, you know what I mean? That if for me, they should have three-minute rounds, and with that, what happens is that, again, this might sound a little bit crass for people listening to this, you will get more stoppages, you will get more knockouts.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get that, then what happens is those moments go around the world via social media, people then become superstars off the back of those one-minute clips, you know, the viral knockouts, and then the girls get paid more money. And that's what we want at the end of the day. You look at the pay packets for the people at the weekend. Katie Taylor, undisputed champion, ain't getting paid as much as Joseph Parker and Derek Chisora.
Crazy, isn't it?
And that's wrong, man. Yeah. That's wrong. Great fight, though, mate. Great fight. I mean, Natasha turned it round from round five onwards. She really got into it. I agree with who won. Katie Taylor won the fight, but blooming out, the back end of that fight was sensational.
Honestly, absolutely fantastic. If they rerun it again, I don't think they will, but if they want to, then I'm all in.
Mate, do it every week. Do it every week. I'm in.
No problem about that. That was a great fight. I thought the main event was awful. And I honestly genuinely mean that. I thought it was boring. I want to see more from Joseph Parker. He lets me. I scream at my TV at him just because I know there's something there. When I see him a bit more aggressive, when he lets his hands go, I'm excited. Then he just stops and backs off. I don't know if I have to give credit to Chisora because of that, or I have to kind of look back and think, okay, come on, Parker, you need to do a bit more here.
I can't agree more, mate. You know, I think Joseph Parker benefited very much from the demise of Tyson Fury back in 2015, 2016, when then belts went all around the world, and obviously he got to fight Andy Ruiz. He became a world champion off the back of that. He fell short when he's come up against the likes of Anthony Joshua and various others like Dillian White over the years. And he does. Listen, I find it hard to talk like this about him because he's such a nice guy.
He's such
a top guy. He's so popular. I want to watch him, and I want him to do well. But I just don't think he's at the elite level. And this is the same for Derek. I don't think that the fight at the weekend constituted a main event pay-per-view. The fight underneath it, the Taylor Jonas fight, that's your main event, and I'd have paid money for that, no question about it. I just think that fight just falls short from what I would class as elite level fighting.
Do you think that we need to almost give him time with Andy Lee in this new setup? Just because, obviously, look, Andy Lee, it's
going
to take three or four different fight cams, isn't it? Just for us to see exactly what Andy Lee can install in him. I don't think I've got the patience, if I'm honest with you, for Parker fighting like that for three or four more fight cams, but it's going to take that, isn't it?
Listen, mate, I was ringside for him and Huey Fury. So,
oh, did you get a refund?
Well, luckily I didn't pay. I was working, but, you know, if I would have paid, I would have asked for a refund. Yeah, listen, you're right in what you're saying. He's just teamed up with Andy Lee. Let's hope that the skills of Andy Lee and the things that he's worked on with Tyson Fury over the years maybe can rub off on Joseph Parker and we get something. It's going to be interesting to see what happens next, isn't it, really, in this division? Because obviously, we're all waiting for AJ and Fury to be announced. And if that is announced, then that'll have a knock-on effect of Usyk-Joyce. But if the big one doesn't get made, then
anything can happen.
Anything can happen, mate. Yeah, I mean, AJ could fight Usyk. Joyce's left without a dance partner. Does that bring in Joseph Parker? There's loads of different narratives, but listen, let's hope we don't get there. Let's hope we just get the big one that everybody wants.
Exactly. The voice there of Adam Catch. Remember, you are listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2 in partnership with DAZN. Remember, stream Canelo versus Saunders this weekend on the DAZN app or website. DAZN, stay up, wake up, catch up. Next up, IBF flyweight champion Sonny Edwards.
He's being cheered home by his corner man. They think that he's done it. Edwards thinks that he's done it. Celebrating maybe just a little bit too soon, but the final bell is coming, and Edwards is now celebrating. He thinks that he is the world champion, cheered aloft by his trainer, Grant Smith. And what a performance that was.
All in favor of your winner by unanimous decision. And new IBF flyweight champion of the world, showtime, Sonny Edwards.
It's Final Extra here on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and Adam Catch. Remember, if you've missed any of today's show, you can always catch up with our podcast. Just search for Fight Night wherever you download your podcast for access to all previous episodes. All right, really looking forward to speaking to this man, the new IBF flyweight champion of the world. What a performance he put on Friday. York Hall, Bethnal Green, the home of British boxing, beating a man that hadn't been beaten for 13 years. 13 years, you wouldn't know it, because Sonny Edwards looked absolutely fantastic. He joins us now. Sonny, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you giving us some time. How's your feet doing though, Sonny?
My left foot has got big blisters. My big blisters, probably because I was southpaw a lot and I was putting a lot of weight into my back foot. But my right foot's fine. But yeah, they're all right. If that's the worst that had come out of the ring, I suppose that's as good as anything, really, isn't it?
And it was, Sonny. Look, honestly, it was a fantastic performance. I was watching it. And look, I have to put my hands up, Sonny. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie because I'm speaking to you. I was like, oh, this is a tough ask for Sonny, just because I was out in South Africa for 3 years. And Motlane is massive over there, right? He's beaten the likes of Casemiro and Tete. He was their last world champion. And they were speaking very confidently, like, you know, they expect you to come on strong for the first couple of rounds, but then Motlane's going to, you know, make the adjustments and win. So I thought it was such a clinical performance. And the thing for me, just because of your inexperience, I thought the way you were able to keep composed for the championship rounds almost belies the amount of fights you've had. Honestly, I thought it was fantastic and well done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. When it comes to the rounds, I've always been able to do the rounds. That's why I jumped straight in with, you know, Farag when I did early on. Jumped in with Maruia when I did early on, relative to my curry. But I grew up through the amateurs. I used to always do sort of 8, 10, 12 rounds sparring a night. I used to be the kid that was in the ring and people was jumping in every two rounds. That was always what kind of happened with me. I mean, I had good amateur success and they used to use me for a lot of sparring below and above me. So I've always been a big and long spar. And obviously I operated out of pro gyms when I was still an amateur, you know, with the TKO gym down in East London. That's obviously not there no more. So I was sparring like sort of area level pros, and I remember Ian Napa was one of the Dapper Napa.
Yeah.
He broke my nose, Ian Napa, with a screw shot that for me was miles out of range. And how to this day that he found me at, I wouldn't know it. And people like Ian Bailey and Charlie Hoy. I was sparring pros when I was a baby still, and I was always doing well and doing good because I could always do the rounds. You know what I mean? I've always been sort of building up to sort of this moment and getting to this level. And now the hard work really begins. The fun really begins now. Do you know what I mean? It's everything before this was just to get up to this level and now stay here and have the biggest fights and be recognized as one of the best in the division. And I think I've got a lot of years left in me. I've not got too much mileage on the clock, more mileage on my feet than the rest of my body. I'm here now and I just want all the big fights. I want the best fights, win, lose or draw. You know, I'm not in the game of sort of picking and choosing and ducking and diving. I just want the biggest names. And now I'm getting mentioned as, you know, I've seen a couple of people's Britain's top 10 pound for pound list getting knocked
well
about.
Done, brother, well done, brother. Well done.
Seeing me ranked in there. That's, you know, I've always believed that I could stand out and that maybe I should stand out. But until you actually do it on the right occasion, on at the right level, then you're just all smoke and mirrors. So I'm glad that I finally validated all the nonsense that I've been talking for the last 4.5 years as a pro.
Does it taste even sweeter with the manner that you did it, Sonny? Because we live in a world now where there seems to be far too many belts in the world of boxing, and some people get handed opportunities and more so than others. And then you can win a world title maybe by knocking somebody out, but by boxing the ears off a guy that many would class as the best flyweight on the planet, a guy, as Addy said 2 minutes ago, hasn't been beaten for 13 years. Does it taste even sweeter doing it in that manner when you have your hand raised and a crown, a new world champion?
Definitely, but more so that the way I did it is the way I said I was going to do it. I mean, I made no qualms about sort of putting my prediction in early. That's how I seen the fight going. I mean, I study the sport. I feel like I'm realistic with my own ability and where I'm at. So I knew I was definitely capable of it. I knew that in me. And I think knowing yourself is the most important part, because when I watch it back, and there was probably times when there was a lot of people probably sat around that I was watching and thinking, okay, no, that's it now. Moretti's going to get to him now. He's too big. He's too strong. He's too powerful, do you know what I mean? And in the ring, when it was getting hard, because I believed in myself that much and the level that I operate at, there wasn't any sort of panic, there wasn't any sort of quit, there weren't any sort of feel sorry for myself, this is getting hard. And that doesn't really come into my mentality. So every round it was just getting up on that stool and doing what I needed to do and what Grant was telling me. And I think I stuck to his orders very well. Couldn't always do exactly what he wanted me to, but obviously I'm a thinking fighter myself. So there is elements of stuff that I was doing that, you know, I was putting in there as well. But that's why me and Grant work so well as a team, because we both understand that about each other. I mean, the things that he'd been telling me for the last 13 weeks and more since I got this fight, I'd not always 100% listening. He knows that. Like, he could be telling me stuff in between rounds of sparring or bags, and I'm not fully listening. I'm not fully absorbing it. But, you know, over the weeks and the months, everything he said in the build-up to that fight, he was then saying again in the fight. So he got his tactics and he got his homework spot on. Do you know what I mean? I'm in the safest hands possible with Grant.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I've been able to be a second world champion. Only, 2 years after he got Charlie over the line as world champion. It's, you know, it's a great thing to sort of give back to someone that's, honestly, I've been with him nearly 8 years now. He's put so much manpower, time, energy and effort into me. It's just good to have those nights and those memories with you know, people that really love you.
Yeah, look, you're right. Fantastic achievement. You and your brother both winning world titles. Flyweight, what was that like? Obviously, making that extra weight, having to cut those extra few pounds. Did you feel strong in there? Did you feel a little lighter? And then when you look at the division as a whole, I mean, look, there are sharks everywhere in this division. I've always said this. I mean, the smaller weights dominated by the Mexicans. You've got, obviously, Martinez. You've got Nakatani as well in there. Are those fights that you look forward to? Or is it a case of just taking your time? You are young. You are young and in the division as well. And just make sure the matchmaking's correct. Or are you ready to all guns blazing in 2022?
All guns blazing. I mean, I've been saying that.
He wants all the smoke.
Yeah, because you only gain what I've gained now, like the sort of exposure, the credit, by beating the real people. Do you know what I mean? Their body of work's got to stand for itself, and their form, etc., has got to stand for itself. And then that's how you get these fights that people are excited by. Now, just winning that fight, no matter how I did it, would have been enough, you know, as long as I did it honestly. Do you know what I mean? So they're the fights that you live for. I don't really want to take step downs or start picking and choosing easy fights. Obviously, these fighters have their own careers, their own belts, and they've got their own plans, and whether or not I can get them over, that is to be seen, or whether I have to go there. I'll go anywhere to fight. Any four corners of this world, I'll go anywhere. Do you know what I mean? It's stuff like that doesn't bother me. I just want to be an honest fighter with an honest career and come out of it as good as I deserve. And, you know, 16-0 world champion. Like I said, I've not even been a pro 5 years yet, and I've covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time, and doing it at flyweight as well, when it's hard to sort of build momentum, harder than other weights. I mean, certain other weights, your profile's got sold, but for example, just by being a heavyweight, do you know what I mean? You show a bit of promise, that's it. Your profile's through the roof. With me and the flyweights, there's a lot of very, very good fighters that no one has heard of. So we've got to do extra and put ourselves that little bit more and you know, just to people to start taking notice. And I think I've got to the stage now with that world title win and the manner of which I did it against the level of opponent that I did it, that I'm probably finally now getting the credit that I deserve, if I'm honest. All my other fights, do you know what I mean? It's not, a lot of them were just, oh, well, Sonny was supposed to win that. Do you know what I mean? It's this one now, I went in as the bookies underdog. A lot of people picking against me. Like you said, they thought they're going to get to him late on, and they fought that heavily. But I've got a lot of heart, a lot of determination, will, grit, and I live for this. It's all I've ever done since the age of 9. I've never done anything else. I've never checked in for work or you know, boxing is all I've ever done.
You're doing it well, Sonny. Honestly, for you to become IBF flyweight champion, again, it's a fight I thought was going to be very difficult. You made it look easy. You speak well. You sell the fights well. You're crazy on social media. I love it. I love every single thing. So keep on doing good things. Honestly, can't wait to see who you're going to fight next. Sonny Edwards there, flyweight world champion. IBF flyweight world champion. Fantastic. Quickly, let's get another word in with Adam Cattrall. Adam, a couple of other big fights on the card as well. Michael Conlon fought Baluta, fight that I was really interested in, though. Troy Williamson versus Kieran Smith, just because they're in the Who Needs Them club, right? No one talks about them. No one wants to fight them. They had to fight each other. And in the end, it's Troy Williamson that goes on and potentially could fight for a British title now.
Best thing about that fight is that there wasn't any of these nonsense trinkets on the line. Nobody forced them. Nobody mandated it. These lads, like you've just said, nobody wants to have a knock with him. So they thought, well, let's have a do it at each other.
Yeah.
Two undefeated lads going in there, and it was Troy Williamson that got the job done. But he had to turn the fight around. He was getting beat. He was getting beat in the fight. He was getting outboxed, and his power just came through for him. Well, it was obviously earlier on in the fight, but his power came through and turned the tides of the fight. So congratulations to him. And the best thing about this is that, you know, Smith doesn't go anywhere. He comes again. And we need to encourage this more and more in the world of boxing. Rather than people avoiding each other and padding records out and going down on these different avenues, get them in the ring with each other and let's have a proper go, you know what I mean? And give some people some entertainment. And that's what these two gentlemen most certainly did on Friday night.
That's exactly what they did. They're the voice of Adam Cattrall, the Catman. Remember, you're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2 in partnership with DAZN. Remember, you can stream Canelo versus Saunders this weekend only on DAZN. Stay up, wake up, catch up. Up next, very special guest, it's the Magic Man, Paulie Malignaggi.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think that will be it. That was right on the nose. Eyes watering. Somehow he gets the bravery to get back up again, but the referee this time says no, and I think that's the right decision.
Yeah,
I was a wee bit surprised that the corner allowed him to come out for that fourth round, but brave guy, took his licks. Great shot down the middle, right on the nose from Billy Joe Saunders, and he gets the win that he needed.
Maybe he's trying to get Canelo to
wear himself out. Down he goes. Fielding looks back at his corner. Jamie Moore.
says keep going. Hey. He's back up. He's smiling. He's aware of what's happening.
You don't smile when you hit like that.
Yeah, there's not much he can do. That was a headshot. Down he goes to the body, and that should do it.
It's over.
That is it.
It's over.
Ricky Gonzalez makes the right call.
It is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, if you've missed any of today's show, you can always catch up with our podcast. Just search for the Fight Night wherever you download your podcast for all access to previous episodes. All right, massive fight on the weekend. It really is. Canelo versus Billy Joe Saunders. To decide, I'm going to say who the number one is at 168 pounds, but Caleb Plant won't be happy with that statement because he's out there with his own belt as well. The IBF shut. Benavidez is out there as well. Let's not forget him, WBC, former WBC super middleweight champion. Let's welcome in this man, though. There's no one in boxing I want to talk to about this fight than the next guy. Former two-weight world champion, Paulie the Magic Man Malignaggi. I think one of the best voices, if not the best voice, when it comes to breaking down anything boxing. Paulie, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Honestly, I haven't seen you do stuff for a long time, Paulie, and I miss you in the industry, but it's really good for you to come on and speak to us now about what is a huge fight. And I guess without AJ versus Fury being announced, this is the biggest fight this year, Paulie.
Yeah. And thank you for having me on. It's exciting to talk about such a big fight. And it really is. I have to agree with you. Besides AJ and Fury, this is probably the biggest fight being talked about in boxing. And being that it's this week, It is right now primed and ready to be discussed in all angles. all the water coolers at work, all the conversation, the fans at the pubs and everything. It's all about Canelo and Billy Joe this week.
It is. And it's weird how it's worked out where fans are now allowed back, right? We've seen fights behind closed doors. And thank God this isn't one of them, right? They're talking about 70,000. 70,000 in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It's going to be 70,000 Mexicans. I mean, the Brits can't fly out, so they're not going to take over this time. It's going to be 70,000.
It's a shame.
It is a shame, right? I mean, you've been around this, so you know what it's like.
Yes, because the Brits make it fun. Obviously, the Latinos in the United States also have a very high-intensity fan base, and they make it fun. But the Brits as well are a high-octane type of fan base, and they also come in droves and come cheering for their guys. It really would have made it for a lot of fun. That's the only shame. But I am happy to have been able to be able to see this fight in front of fans and to be able to hear the atmosphere and for the fighters to be able to experience that, because I think a fight of this magnitude, it deserves all the fanfare that comes along with it. And the fighters deserve to have that adrenaline rush of the fanfare to be involved with it. Fortunately, in the U.S., Florida and Texas have been a bit more lenient with these kind of things. And now things are starting to open up. So hopefully we'll see more and more fights with that will include a fan base.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, I mentioned at the top there are a couple of other guys at 168 that I think can give Canelo good fights. I think Benavidez is big and strong. He can. I think Caleb Plant looks like he could possibly give him some rounds as well. But from a UK standpoint, a lot of people have been calling for the Billy Joe Saunders fight now for about a year and a half. Everyone's like, okay, Callum Smith is good, but in terms of stylistically, a matchup that maybe favours a Brit, it is Billy Joe Saunders. I mean, you've watched Billy Joe Saunders fight before. I mean, I've always said that I think Canelo's fought every style, right? They talk about a slick box. I'm like, wait, he fought Lara. He fought Floyd. Talk about a puncher, he's fought Golovkin. You talk about a counterpart, he's fought all the styles. What do you see in Billy Joe Saunders that maybe Canelo hasn't seen before?
You know what? He's a little bit of a mix here. You know, he's got that crafty southpaw stance, right? He's got that crafty southpaw style, but at the same time, he's also a guy who can give you different angles. He's a guy who can sit there and tough it out with you as well. He has that ingrained in him that where he's got that machismo in him as well, which I don't know if it'll work out to be to his particular advantage if he tries to be too macho. But at the same time, he's not just going to be looking to touch and go like Lara was, you know. And personally, I think Lara could have got that decision against Canelo. But it was not a fan friendly style, to where at the end of the day, you'd rather that guy win the fight and that guy carry the torch for boxing, right? And as much as I believe that by the point system, Lara may have been able to get that decision, Saunders makes it a bit more fun. He's not just a touch and go kind of guy. He actually wants to have the machismo approach to it, and really be a guy who wants to outslick you, but also show you that he's more man than you, and is the better man in there and inside the ring, and the better boxer overall, and the tougher guy inside the ring. So I think Saunders while he will bring skill into it, will also make it a bit more fun of a fight, you know, yeah. And can still befuddle Canelo at times, but of course will also put himself more at risk than Lara was willing to. I don't think Lara was ever willing to put himself more at risk. And who knows, maybe Lara will say, you know what, I didn't need to put myself that much at risk. I was able to outpoint him.
Yeah,
and you know what, he may have a point, but at day's end, I think there's something in Saunders' personality that tells me he doesn't just want to outbox Canelo. He wants to beat up Canelo, and he has this in him. You know, yeah. I remember this fight he had in the David Lemieux fight. He doesn't care about all the fans being against him. He really, really impressed me in the Lemieux fight. Listen, I would always tell you Saunders is a better fighter than David Lemieux, but Lemieux was still a dangerous puncher. He was still a guy who can make things very, very hairy for you in there, and he just took him on and smoothly executed everything in front of his fan base. So that experience, although Canelo is of different levels than Lemieux, nonetheless shows me that Saunders has the ice in his veins to take the right approach in this fight and make it the kind of fight that he wants to, and fight the kind of fight that he ideally wants to fight. And then we'll see if that works.
Yeah, there's been a couple of issues in the lead up to this fight, as there always is with big fights. There's been talk about the gloves. There's been talk about the ring size. There's been talking about the fact there is no British judge. I mean, look, Canelo's never going to lose a points decision in America. I mean, that's not going to happen, right?
I don't think Canelo will lose a points decision anywhere.
Yeah, know? Anywhere in the world.
The money is followed. You know, this is one of the issues with boxing. It's a business before it's a sport. And people can say, well, many times it's like that. Yes. But in boxing, it's a business to the point where it doesn't even matter if you win anymore. If the business guy has to get the decision, then the business guy will get the decision. You know,
that's so, how it is, isn't it now?
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing, really, because Canelo is world-class. He's a top-level world-class fighter. So just to beat him is a feat in and of itself when you're beating that guy, that kind of good fighter. But then to also have to get a decision, you got two big hurdles in front of you. You got to not only beat this guy who's very good, who's excellent, you've also then got to hope to get the decision as well. So beating Canelo is dealing with a very sharp two-edged sword.
No, you're right. I mean, look at the first Gennady-Golovkin fight, right? It was a draw. It was a fight that I scored. I've watched it so many times, and I still score it 7-5 or 8-4 to Golovkin. And yeah, I'm thinking, if Golovkin can't do it, then well.
Yeah. And here's the thing about this, right? And then people always say, well, boxing has to take a cue from the MMA world, where they, you know, losses don't matter and such doesn't matter, and fighters fight the best and all this stuff. And I agree to that degree. I agree. But here's the problem, right? If Canelo had not gotten those decisions, right? Because you can really, really, you can make a case that he lost the Lara fight, and you can make a case that he lost both Golovkin fights. Because just because he came forward in the second fight doesn't mean he didn't get outboxed. Because I didn't think he won the second fight either. So you can make a case that the guy has three losses, right? Would this fight be as special?
No.
Would this fight be as special if Canelo has three losses on his record against Billy Joe Saunders? It should be. It's two excellent fighters. It's two amazing fighters. And honestly, I think Canelo has something for Billy Joe, just like Billy Joe has something for Canelo. It would be an excellent fight nonetheless. But would people perceive it the same way if Canelo had three losses on his record? They probably wouldn't. And that's the problem with boxing. See, everybody complains about, oh, the fighters don't fight each other. But would you have the same perception of this fight if Canelo had three losses on his record? That's the problem, too. The fans have to adjust, and so does the media. The media has to also adjust when it comes to the way they view boxing and the way they view their boxers, if you want these fights, these kind of fights, to happen when they're supposed to happen. Now, we've got an amazing fight with Canelo and Billy Joe, but I think we can have more of these amazing fights if the perception of the fans and media was to be adjusted the way it is in MMA.
Indeed. I think this Canelo now is almost coming into his peak, Paulie. I look at him and I remember there was a time when I thought gas tank looks like it's running empty. I remember the Angulo fight, I was like, he's hanging on. And I just thought that his footwork was kind of off sometimes. Now I watch him, I don't see anything wrong. I mean, look, I'm sure you can probably see it from a boxing standpoint, but I don't see any problems with Canelo right now.
Well, let's see. I mean, his footwork hasn't really been put to the test in recent times, right? I mean, he fought Golovkin the second time he was coming forward. And then with Yavni Yildirim, he didn't need anything except his fists, because Yildirim was right in front of him, right? So if anything, the footwork is going to be put to the test against a guy with crafty feet like Billy Joe Saunders. So if Canelo has improved in the footwork department, we will see it in this fight. Even Callum Smith was not that much of a mover, you know? So Billy Joe is a tricky, crafty guy. So very versatile fighter. So if Canelo has made improvements in the footwork department, this is the fight where we would ideally see it, because this is the best movers boxer that he's fought since probably, if I'm remembering right, it's probably since Lara, you know? So, yeah. So, you know, this will put it to the test if the improvements have come along. Also, if he's able to dictate the pace and dictate the, and control the center ring at center ring, because I remember even in the Miguel Cotto fight, even against a smaller guy, Cotto's jab was bothering Canelo enough for big Cotto time to have moments in the fight, you know? So you've got now a guy in Saunders who has these weapons, and he has these crafty weapons. So we're going to see if the improvements have actually come from Canelo, or if he's still the same Canelo, which is still an excellent fighter. It's not like, you know, when I say the same Canelo, I'm not telling you that it's a diminished fighter. It's still an excellent fighter. But if we're going to talk about the new and improved Canelo, we're going to discuss it against this kind of opponent, because the Avni Yildirim fight doesn't really count to me.
How do Americans view British boxers? And the reason I asked that question, Paulie, is because we have seen a couple of high profile sort of Brits lose and lose badly in America, right? I mean, obviously Callum Smith lost nearly every single round, and he was recognised as the ring number one at 168 pounds. I never thought he was, but that's what the ring said, right? I mean, we saw AJ a couple of years back against Ruiz. We've seen Liam Williams get beat by Demetrius Andrade. How do they view British boxing right now in America?
I still think British boxing, I mean, from a personal perspective, I still think British boxing is of a high level. You know, fighters come and go, you know, their generations change, but I still think the UK is still a well-oiled machine in terms of producing top-level fighters. Mm. And I, you know, there's always that rivalry. I mean, you know, you had that for a time, you had the Wilder and Joshua rivalry, yeah. And the Americans were all for Wilder, and the Brits were all for Joshua and all this other stuff. And then Fury kind of came in and dissipated that. But really, I mean, there is going to always be a bit of fanfare for your side, your own side, so to speak. So I think the fans are always hedging more towards the North American side, the American/Mexican side. But nonetheless, there is, you know, from what I notice, there's a big respect for British boxing. And the fans that I talk to also constantly talk about the aura, the mystique of a British fight crowd, you know, which
it's crazy,
obviously
it?
Now.
It's crazy. I don't think they really, honestly, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I trust me, you're talking to the right guy, because I've been in front of them a million times.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't think they all understand the mystique about it. I speak to many fans that tell me I've got to go watch a live fight in Britain in my lifetime. I've got to go watch a live fight in Britain in my lifetime. You know, I remember I had a good friend of mine who I was talking to, and he's actually an ex-boxer himself, a little bit lower level, and he was basically saying that, you know, all he hears about is this amazing fight crowds in Britain. And if they make Fury and AJ, he's got to go to Britain. And now it looks like it would probably wind up in the Middle East. So I told him, I said, I don't know if he's going to get to go to Britain for that fight, you know? So the mystique, the aura is definitely talked about. But of course, fans always going to hedge more towards their side. But there's still a curiosity about that fight crowd mystique. And the reason the fight crowd mystique is there is because Britain turns out and produces terrific fighters.
Indeed. Paulie, I've got a couple of more points before I let you go, and thank you so much for your time here. Firstly, how do you think this fight plays out, Paulie?
You know, it's funny, because I think Saunders has enough to really befuddle Canelo and make him think. But at the same time, I sometimes think Saunders' machismo puts him in harm's way a little bit more. I probably prefer the style of Saunders. I like boxers like that. I like fighters like that. I like the mentality of him. But if I had to pick just from a professional perspective, I'd probably hedge towards Canelo in a late round knockout, because Saunders probably is going to put himself more in harm's danger, in danger's way than he should. But if I have to prefer a style I prefer to see winning, I'd probably prefer to watch Saunders win, because with Saunders is such a controversial type guy, and I love those kind of guys, you know, where they kind of upset the apple cart, and then they have that machismo to them. And I'd really be curious to see what Saunders would do if he won this fight. You know, first of all, obviously you'd get a rematch, but I'd love to hear him talk. I'd love to just see him be the way he is, you know? And so I just think it will be more fun to see Saunders win the fight, even though probably for the business people in the sport, it's probably a disaster if Saunders wins the fight. But, I hedged Canelo probably as far as picking a favorite to win the fight. But I probably, if I have to say I'm being biased to who I'd prefer to see win, I'd probably prefer Billy Joe to win the fight.
Paulie, I'm telling you now, yeah, if he wins the fight in our eyes, but the judge gives it to Canelo, he's going to do exactly what you did against Juan Diaz. He's going to get that mic. I'm telling you, he's going to get that mic and he is going to go off. And that's why you remind me of each other so much, because I know he's going to do that.
Yeah, and that's why I enjoy watching him. I enjoy his personality too, you know? So he's a great fighter, and I think his personality is also something that generates curiosity. So I think the result will be more fun if we get more Billy Joe. Canelo is a respectful guy. He's a terrific fighter, but, you know, you kind of know what you're going to get with Canelo. You never know what you're going to get with Billy Joe. So
that's what makes it fascinating. Honestly, that's what makes it fascinating.
I'll be watching. I'll be tuned in and enjoying this show for sure.
I'm sure you will be. Paulie, the Magic Man, Malinaji, thank you. Honestly, really appreciate you coming on and speak to us here on the social and TalkSport 2. Obviously, as a massive fan of yours, love watching your fights. Even from that one against Miguel Cotto where you got hurt, and I thought, okay, let me see what he's got. You had it. You got up, put up on a great fight. And ever since then, I've been a huge, huge fan. So honestly, it's a big honor speaking to you.
Thank you. Yeah, that fight changed my life. It changed my boxing life as well.
Honestly, really appreciate it. You're listening to Fighter Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single Monday afternoon to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. If you've missed any of the show and like to listen again, then you can check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner.
I've just left it to my team. My management team's in full control of it. And the people's well aware here that it needs to be resolved before Saturday. They were saying, oh, there's not a big enough ring in Texas. I'm sure America's a very big place. And, you know, these people's got private jets and other bits and bobs. I'm sure they can get a ring sent from somewhere to make the fight happen, because at the minute, mate, it's laughable. I'm not even took it serious, if I'm honest, because it's completely unacceptable. So I've just completely dismissed it and left it into my team's hands.
The voice there of Billy Joe Saunders, obviously a massive fight from this weekend against Canelo, Saul Alvarez. This is Fighter Extra here on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Now, in partnership with DAZN, let's take a look ahead to this weekend's huge unification fight where Billy Joe Saunders will take on Canelo Alvarez.
Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with DAZN. Stay up, wake up, catch up. Stream Canelo versus Saunders however you want it, only on DAZN. Download the DAZN app or visit DAZN.com.
Yeah, massive fight, isn't it? Huge fight this week, and arguably, unless they make AJ Fury the fight of the year, no doubt for me. Let's welcome in Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Huge one, Gareth. Let's kind of break this one down. Let's first talk about what we heard there at the top. Billy Joe Saunders talking about the size of the ring. There's been a lot of talk, isn't there? Not just about ring size, but about the gloves, about no British judge. This is big fight, so this is what happens all the time, isn't it?
It is. Look, it's mind games going into the fight. Billy Joe Saunders doesn't seem bothered at all, in my view. He's letting his management team, MTK Global, handle it. His father has been very strident and forward and up front of house about it. I think the key is Billy Joe Saunders just concentrates on what he's been working on in an 18-week camp abroad. He's been in Las Canarias, you know, I visited him there. To me, he looks in the best physical, mental, emotional, physiological state I've ever seen him in, Eddie, and I think he's going there and he intends to get the job done in what is a massive legacy fight for him. But like you say, these are the mind games that Vladimir Klitschko played against Tyson Fury back in Dusseldorf in 2015, when there was too much foam in the canvas. They said, we ain't having this fight unless you thin out the canvas, which they did in the end, thin out the sponge underneath the canvas. So I think they will get their own way. I think it'll be a minimum 22-foot ring. An 18-foot ring is frankly ridiculous. And I think Eddie Hearn, the promoter, should be going out to bat for Billy Joe Saunders in this as well, because we want the best possible contest.
This is interesting. You mentioned Eddie Hearn, the promoter there, because I agree with you. And it's one thing that a lot of people on social media maybe critiqued Eddie for, because it does feel like he's on the side of Canelo on this one, which I don't think's the case, but that's what it looks like from the outside looking in. Eddie obviously does promote Billy Joe Saunders as well, and Eddie should be batting for these things. He should have batted for a British judge. He should be batting for him when it comes to the ringside, surely.
Well, I cannot believe that when they looked through the small print of the contract that they agreed to an 18-foot ring. Tiny ring, the smallest possible, but don't want him to fight in a phone box. against Saul Canelo Alvarez, because that's not the kind of fight he's going to have. He's going to try and slip and slide and be like a ghost in there. Mm. He's not going to be there when Canelo comes looking for him. He's got to pop his shots off and move and be elusive and make a, not make a fool of Canelo, but make him look slovenly. It's the toughest fight of his career. He hasn't got this kind of character on his resume yet. We know what he did against David Lemieux a couple of years back. Billy Joe Saunders, that famous meme where he looked out into the crowd. Lemieux missed him for the umpteenth time, and that's what he's got to do against Canelo. I mean, look, he's technically probably the best boxer in Britain, Billy Joe Saunders. A lot of people wouldn't argue with that. He's got to almost embarrass him to get the victory in Texas on Saturday night.
Yeah, you look at what Canelo's done in his resume so far, and look, I mean, like, I think Billy Joe Saunders, and I agree with you, by the way, I do think alongside Josh Taylor, I think he's the best boxer we've got over here technically. I really think he's that good. But you look at Canelo's resume, and he's fought technical boxers before, right? You don't get more technical than Floyd Mayweather. You don't get more technical than Lara as well, who was a southpaw, slick southpaw as well. What can Billy Joe Saunders do, you think, that he hasn't seen yet, Canelo? Because I think he's seen everything.
Well, he has seen everything, and that loss is sole loss in an almost 60 fight career since he was 15 and a half years old, was to the great Floyd Mayweather, a defensive genius, as we know. And obviously Saul Canelo Alvarez was just a developing fighter at the time. We've seen him more canny, use more nous defensively and offensively in the latter part of his career. And that's what Billy Joe Saunders has got to do. Be that slick southpaw that you mentioned. Be elusive. Use his footwork. Use his timing. And be in the moment. Be present in every round as the fight goes on. I also think Billy Joe Saunders maybe hit harder and more often than he's ever been hit in his career. We know what Canelo does. He loves to go to the body. Saunders is going to have to shield that with his right forearm, his right elbow, his right hand. And I think, basically, he's just got to produce a technical boxing masterclass. He's got to get ahead in the rounds, and he's got to make Canelo miss over and over again.
And let's hope he does that. That was a look ahead to the upcoming fight action and the latest news from Arlington Texan in partnership with DAZN. Remember, stay up, wake up, catch up.
Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with DAZN. Stay up, wake up, catch up. Stream Canelo versus Saunders however you want it, only on DAZN. Download the DAZN app or visit DAZN.com.
That's it for this week. Thank you once again for downloading the podcast. We'll be live again next Monday on TalkSport 2. And if you miss us, make sure to subscribe to Fight Night Podcast to catch up with all our other episodes.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.